This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Saturday, October 2nd, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. New polling on vaccines from the Cato Institute indicates a few things. For one, financial consequences are probably not the best way to get people to make the choice of getting vaccinated. Cato's Jeff Singer discusses the new polling.
Despite the fact that there are a lot of Americans, most Americans, who have gotten at least one dose of a vaccine against COVID-19, there exists a group of people who have not. Is it a variety of reasons, or is it just one or two reasons that people have decided not to get a vaccine?
Well, the Cato Institute and YouGov conducted a poll from September 6th to 13th, and we found that, first of all, at that time, 67% of the 2,000 people that we questioned had received at least one dose, and out of the remaining 33% who are unvaccinated, a little bit less than half of them appeared persuadable. The reasons they were given were either they were waiting to see how other people did because they were concerned about, you know, side effects or whatever, or they were intending to do it but just hadn't gotten around to it. Or some said, well, I'll do it if I have to, if I'm required, but otherwise I'm not going to. Then there was about 17% of that 33%, so a little over half, who were just dug in. They said, under no circumstances will I get vaccinated. So you did have, we discovered that there are a pool of people who are persuadable who haven't yet gotten vaccinated. In fact, if you add the number of people who are persuadable to the number of people who have already gotten vaccinated, you're over 80% of the population getting vaccinated, which is our target, supposedly.
What's the role of insurance companies here? I know that some folks had kicked around the idea of let's just pay people to get the vaccine, or as in the case of, I believe, Delta Airlines, let's penalize people for not getting vaccinated.
Right. And that's why we looked into this, because on the one hand, it seems only right that if you choose not to get vaccinated, and therefore you choose to assume a higher risk, you're actually presenting a higher risk to the risk pool of people who are insured. And so you should pay more. Just like, for example, if you choose to go skydiving or scuba diving, you're taking a higher risk, or you choose to smoke or something like that. So we wanted to see if providing financial negative incentives in this case would improve the vaccination rate. So we asked, out of the 33% of people who are yet unvaccinated in this poll, we asked them if we made incremental increases in their monthly premiums, would that make them more inclined to get vaccinated? And we started with a $50 a month increase and worked our way all the way up to a $1,000 a month increase, which is $12,000 a year. And what we found, to our surprise, was it didn't seem to have an effect, and in fact, might have had a negative effect. Because we asked this question of all of the people who are unvaccinated, which included, like I say, just slightly less than half of them are persuadable. Slightly more than half are supposedly unpersuadable. Yet, fully 74% of the unvaccinated would not be more inclined to get vaccinated, even with a premium as high as, I think, premium increase as high as $1,000 a month. So a greater percentage of the unvaccinated would be disinclined to get vaccinated with these financial incentives than before we even brought up the idea of financial incentives. That leads us to believe that the conclusions we got from this poll are, first of all, there is a population of unvaccinated people out there, a large enough population, who are open to persuasion to get us to over our goal of 80% people vaccinated. That's first. Second, if you try to kind of squeeze people to get vaccinated, it doesn't appear to work. And in fact, it might even backfire. It might even make some people angry and get more resistant. So this is still useful information. It surprised us. We expected differently. So, but this is useful information because the information to policymakers and public health officials should be stop using efforts to coerce people into getting vaccinated. Don't shame people. Don't try to use defamatory comments against people who choose not to get vaccinated. And instead, undertake better messaging to better persuade people. There's certainly been a lot of cognitive dissonance in our messaging out there. You know, for example, when there was that pause in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for a few days, just on the basis of a very, very tiny, tiny, rare complication, and then the pause was lifted, that, of course, fueled a lot of hesitancy and fear, understandably. And when we say things like the vaccine gives you excellent protection against severe disease, so we must get the unvaccinated to vaccinate in order to protect the vaccinated people, that makes any person say, wait, what'd you just say? You just told me I'm protected, so then why do we have to make that guy get vaccinated to protect me? I'm protected, you just told me. So we have all that kind of mixed messaging. Same thing, you know, boosters, these people can get boosters, these people can't get boosters. All that kind of inconsistent messaging just makes people who can be persuaded more skeptical. So this is actually a surprising but very useful information we got from our poll.
You add to this the fact that we had this vaccine at least in existence, at least the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, almost a year before FDA approval occurred for the vast majority of Americans. And then you have 6 months or so of Joe Biden and public health officials and others urging Americans to get vaccinated. And then you have Joe Biden saying, hey, you don't want to get vaccinated, you will face consequences from the federal government. We're going to impose a vaccine or test mandate essentially on the bulk of private sector employees. And my sense is that Americans don't like being told for a very long time, you can't have this. And then being told, do this, do this, do this. And then being told, you do this or submit to this regime or you might lose your job. I just don't think Americans really like being talked to in that way.
Well, and it's interesting in our polling data, we found that as we went up the ladder of adding incremental premium increases, the numbers saying they'll be now more inclined to do it actually got less. So that at $50 a month, 14% of the unvaccinated said they'd be more inclined to get vaccinated at a $50 a month premium increase. When we went up to $100 a month, that dropped to 5%. Then when we went up to $200 a month, it dropped to 3%. Well, when we went up to $400 a month, it dropped to 2% and it stayed at 2% at $1,000 a month. So it's almost like people's response was, now you're making me angry. I mean, I can't get into the heads of those respondents, but that's certainly the appearance it had. But to your earlier point, you know, employers have the right to require their employees get vaccinated or tested as the terms of employment. That's certainly their right. And the government as an employer is within its rights to require their employees. What it doesn't have a right to do, in my opinion, is to force private individuals and private businesses to get vaccinated or require their employees to get vaccinated.
So what is the big lesson here? You mentioned cajoling or trying to compel people or require people to do things isn't the way to go, but it would be beneficial if most Americans did get vaccinated. It would be beneficial if the vast majority of Americans got vaccinated. So what's the path forward?
Well, the lesson is that there seem to be enough people open to persuasion that if we just had consistent and better messaging and didn't engage in activities that fueled skepticism like these unnecessary pauses due to being overly cautious, that we'd be able to get to our target goal of over 80% of the population vaccinated, and that would hasten the end of this, of this pandemic. And there's no need to resort to coercive techniques. So that's the lesson for policymakers.
Jeff Singer is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.